with them, Lord, that they're able to remain in your word and to be comforted and cheered. And Lord, if there's opportunity for us in the church to be a blessing to them, Lord, that you would help us to do that. Pray also for the children of the families in the church, Lord, that they would find the transition back into school life an easy transition, that it wouldn't be too stressful, that the children would be rejoicing in the opportunity that they have to learn, and Lord, that they would be built up and that they would be edified through the things that you have to teach them out of your word, Father, through the various ministries, through the church, Sunday school, and so on. And Lord, we just pray that you bless us, bless our church, help us to be a light in the city of Townsville. And Lord, we pray these things for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Everyone, our final hymn this morning before our message is number 512, Saved by Grace. Now, if you can stand, can we do the first three verses of that hymn, please?
Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing. But all the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the King, and I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. Someday my earthly house will fall. I cannot tell how soon 'twill be, but this I know, my all in all has now a place in heaven for me. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. Someday when fades the golden sun beneath the rosy tinted west, my blessed Lord will say, well done, and I shall enter into rest. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace.
Wonderful. Thanks very much, everyone. You may be seated. Children, you can now be dismissed, and we'll have the pastor with this morning's message.
All right, good morning. It's great to see you. Just a couple of things. On the 9th of May at 2 p.m., we'll be having a ladies' afternoon tea. And so, ladies, it'd be good if you could sign up for that for food and other things. So this is not technically the last day to sign up, but it would help the ladies in prep. So we're going to have a special speaker on that day and a great time. So that's Saturday, the 9th of May at 2 p.m. Any age is welcome to come, and it'll be a great time together. If you haven't signed up and would like to come, would you please sign up at the back? That would be great. And then there's corn. There's corn at the back of the church. If you would like to have some of the corn, the Benoras have provided corn for everyone. Thanks, mate. And then it's wonderful to have some first-time visitors with us today. We're so glad you're here and hope you can come again and again. And then it's good to have Brother Steve Wood with us today. He's here for a couple of weeks just doing some things, but it's great to have Steve with us. He'll be, Lord willing, he'll be doing our Bible reading for us next week. But Brother Steve's recently lost his wife, and we've been praying for him and others as well. Now, on our way to Psalm 73, so that's where we're going to end up. May I ask you, if you have your Bible, will you stop at Psalm 50? Psalm 50. Now, if you're using a computer or whatever like that, that's fine too. But this part that I'm going to refer to might not actually be there. When you're doing your Bible reading, do you sometimes notice the superscriptions before the chapter? Before the chapter starts, do you ever pay attention to those? Sometimes it just says a Psalm of David. The one from Psalm 73 says a Psalm of Asaph. Well, instead of doing a Bible reading this morning, I want to pay attention to a couple of those, and then we're going to look at Psalm 73, which was our Bible reading today. But these superscriptions, they are informative. For example, in Psalm 51, we'll talk about this in a little bit, a psalm of David to the chief musician, a psalm of David with when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. So David writes this. This is his response to David, to Nathan coming in and saying, David, King David, you sinned, and God is going to judge you. You go over a little bit to Psalm, we'll stop at Psalm, really it's Psalm 52, Psalm 53, 54. 54 says, to the chief musician on Neganoth, Mashal, which is the word prayer, a Psalm of David when the Ziphims came and said to Saul, doth not David hide himself with us? So they're telling on them, David, they're telling on David, how's he going to respond? Psalm 56, when the Philistines took David. Last one we'll look at, Psalm 102. Thank you for your patience with this. I know you're saying, what in the world? We really are going somewhere with this. Psalm 102. Psalm 102, the part that comes before verse 1 says this, a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and poureth out his complaint before the Lord. These instructions, these things are very informative. So if you will, turn back with me to Psalm 73. These little bits of paper or little sayings are very informative. Today, I want to talk to you about what's next. What's next? And if I have time, I'll tell you what the Lord worked in my heart while we're looking at this morning, if we have time to get there. But what's next? In other words, whatever you're doing in life, whatever is going on in your life right now, what are you going to do next? And some of us may be at a waiting point, a place where we don't know, we can't see forward, and we say, but I don't know what I'm going to do next. But what are you going to do while you wait to see what you're going to do next? What is your... What are you going to do? How are you going to respond to what life is giving you right now? How are you going to respond? This morning we're looking at the 73rd Psalm. One of my favorite psalms. It begins with that title at the above. A psalm of Asaph, just like the others that we were looking at. The reason I'm putting so much emphasis on them today is that we would not know that Asaph wrote this psalm unless he told us, unless the psalmist told us. Now, why is that important? Because, well, in Psalm 110, verse 1, it says a psalm of David. It attributes David. It says David wrote this psalm. That's the little part before the psalm, before verse 1, the psalm of David. Jesus quoted this. He actually says, David himself, in the book of Psalms, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. And though it's not part of the verse, it was sort of like a note handed down with the verses. So Jesus says, you know what? David wrote Psalm 110. And so when we look at this psalm and we see, okay, a psalm of Asaph. Well, who was Asaph? Asaph was the chief musician. He was a contemporary of David. He was the guy that led the music. He was the guy that organized all the music aspect of the service. And for David. This man loved the Lord. And he says this, truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as of a clean heart. Two things I'll notice there. First of all, there's an affirmation and an acknowledgement. The affirmation is this, truly God is good to Israel. And it's like, it's something, have you ever known something and then circumstances of life just were so challenging, so hard, that it really shook you. It really shook you, and you wondered, you had to re-look, do I really believe this? Well, in this, Asaph is saying, truly, God is good and only good to Israel. He's good and only good to His people. There's never a time when God is unkind to His people. There's never a time when God is uncaring or absent from His people. Asaph is saying, you know what? God is good to His people. Second thing I'll look at in this verse is the acknowledgement, even to such as are of a clean heart. Now, purity of life is included in that. But the idea of the word clean there gives the more the idea of a committed heart to God. The word heart, though used different Greek words, Hebrew words to do it, is used six times in this psalm. So the person who has a clean heart, a heart that's wholly committed to God, God is good and only good. You know, it's when we stop seeing that God is good, that God cares, that God is gracious. When we get our eyes on the problems of life and we say, woe is me, why? If we've got our heart right, if we've got our thinking on. You ever heard the phrase, that person doesn't have their head on right? They don't have their head on straight? Well, if a believer has his head on straight, and actually if he just has his heart committed to God right, Asaph is saying, you know what, you're going to admit that God is good. Even when he lets you go through the hard times and the difficult times, God is still good. So here, Asaph is acknowledging God is good, but wait. I remember a time, Asaph says, not too long ago. I remember a time, he says, but as for me, and the emphasis, let me tell you about me now. Asaph said, there was a time when I wasn't sure that God was good. There was a time when I was very discouraged, that I just, if you'd have asked me if God was good, I would have said, nope! In fact, he said, as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. The idea that his feet were almost gone is the idea that his feet were bending underneath him. His legs were so bent, and he was just discouraged by the weight of the difficulties on him. He was discouraged and he was without direction. His feet had well nigh slipped. The idea of that slipped word gives the idea of just being poured out. You know, you pour out, if I had a jug of water, which I thought about doing, I just didn't want to make a mess. You pour out a jug of water right here, and unless you've got an incline, it's just gonna splash and go everywhere. I was painting some this week. It's amazing where paint goes when you don't want it to go there. But it splash, you know, you can't say, okay, water, when I pour you out, I want you to splash there, there, there. It just splashes. Asaph said, you know what? I remember a time real recently that I wasn't convinced that God was good, and I was just absolutely discouraged. And he says, absolutely. Almost gone, well nigh slipped. He says, you know what? I just about said, Lord, you know what? This is just too hard. You know, sometimes when we're giving in or not looking at things like the Lord would have us to, We can be directionless. Now, if we're sitting in a waiting zone, that's still having direction. But there's times where if we're not trusting Him and we don't have Him in the right place, then our life, we're just not going anywhere. Asaph said, you know what? But as for me, my feet were almost gone. Who was this again? This is Asaph, and what was he? He was the music leader. Can I just say a couple of things with that? First of all, he was a leader in church. He was a leader in church. Leaders in church have their struggles too. Leaders in church are no more prone not to sin than anyone else. Asaph was facing some really hard difficulties. So what are the circumstances that brought on this discouragement, this being directionless. He tells us in verse 3, he started going by what he saw. Can I ask you this verse? The just shall live by... Anybody know the rest of that in 2 Corinthians 7:5? The just shall live by faith. What was Asaph living by? For I was envious at the foolish when I saw he was letting his senses lead him. He was letting his emotions, he was letting what he saw around him guide him. I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Several times the Bible emphasizes our need to live by faith. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 4:18 talks about the eternality of the unseen things. And 1 Peter 1:8 talks about we love Jesus whom we have not seen. So we live by faith, not by sight. Well, Asaph was going by sight. Well, what was he watching? He was sitting down. He was sitting down. And he was watching. He's sitting and watching these people that don't know the Lord. He's watching. He says there's no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. And the idea is they don't even die. They never die. Now that's ridiculous. Isn't it amazing how that when things are going bad or difficult or hard, we blow them out of the water. We just blow it all up. They don't even die. We make the situation too big. There are no bands in their death. They just live forever. They are not in any trouble. They don't ever have any problems. Therefore, they're proud and God doesn't seem to care. They treat people like trash. They are mean to other people. Here, Asaph is seeing this and he's just getting more and more discouraged. Their eyes stand out with fatness. Now, what in the world? Their eyes stand out with fatness. The idea is that they have everything they want. Anything that they see, in Asaph's eyes, they just get it. Everything seems to go their way. They have more than their heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppressions. They speak loftily. They're just arrogant in their approach to life. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. They don't seem to have anybody to stand up to them. Doesn't seem like anyone ever corrects them. They're above everyone else. Everything goes their way. And then he says, and they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Their assumption, he's hearing them, he's watching them, he's hearing them, he's seeing the way they live, he's seeing the way they treat others, he's seeing the way they talk about God. And he's just absolutely discouraged. He's absolutely discouraged. His circumstances had discouraged him. Can we go sidetrack just for a minute? You know how we were talking about those superscriptions earlier? Well, Asaph is not the only one with problems that he has to respond to. You go back to Psalm 3. Before the first verse, it says a Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. This tells us what this psalm is about. And David said, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Lord, first of all, he says, I've got family problems. How are we going to respond when we've got family problems? Any perfect families in here? Any perfect families? I'll just check. Any perfect families? Yeah, mine neither. Well, David has problems in his family. He doesn't get respect from his son. His own son is trying to take the kingship from him. He's running off. He was willing to kill him. Talking about a lack of respect. But yet, I love David's heart for Absalom. He just loved his son. And then you could say, really, work problems. David's having work problems, and they're overwhelming. He had to run for his life. What's David going to do? In Psalm 7, another time, David writes a psalm. He writes a ton of them. It says, Shigion of David, which he sang unto the Lord concerning the words of Cush the Benjamite. You all know who Cush the Benjamite is, don't you? I'm kidding. Did you know this is the only time Cush the Benjamite is mentioned in Scripture? Not one time. Because I looked it up. I'm gonna look, see what he said. I want to know what he said that got David so upset. Because at another time, this guy was swearing at David, I wish God would judge you. I wish God would judge you. I wish God would judge you. And his soldier said, do you want us to go throw a spear through his heart to David? And David said, no, I'll leave him alone. Maybe God sent him to do that. So whatever these words that Cush the Benjamite said, they really got a hold of David. He says in the first verse, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. Can I ask you something? Do people sometimes say hurtful things, mean things, talk about you behind your back, cause trouble for you? How do you respond? What's next? Psalm 51, we did this one already. David had a wrong relationship with Bathsheba. Nathan comes and says, David, you are the man. You sinned. This is David's response. This is his response after going into Bathsheba. And he says, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Two more. Psalm 56. The word miktam means the word prayer. When the Philistines took him, at home, the people were against him. His enemies, he had killed Goliath, their champion. They get a hold of him, and he's thinking, I'm a dead man. He's feeling absolutely alone. What do we do next? What do we do next when God calls us out on sin? What do we do? Do we say, no, I didn't do that. David didn't. What do we do when we're feeling absolutely alone and just like nobody wants us to know us? What's next? What are we going to do next? How are we going to respond? Do you know this guy? Do you know this guy? Or did you know this guy? Nick Vujicic, he was born in Melbourne, 1982, died a couple of years ago. The photo is honest. He has no legs and no arms. And from the, he was born that way, Tetra Amelia Syndrome. He was the first special needs child to go to a public school in Australia. Nick, because of his situation, was bullied, lonely, and different. I mean, in his own testimony, he says, "What hope do I have of getting a wife? What hope do I have, if I do have a wife, of hugging my children? What can I do?" So the first thing we see is the circumstances. Second thing I want us to see is the choice, the cue. What's next? How are we going to respond? How's he going to respond? How did he respond to everything going on in his life? How did David respond to being pursued by these words, by the different... So how's Asaph going to handle this? Let's go to verse 12. He said, "Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches." And then he says, "Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency." And basically, you know what he's saying there? Here I have been living for God, and what have I gotten for it? So self-centered, so self-focused. It's all about me, 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 me. It's all about me. They get everything. I don't get anything. And then he says, "For all the day long I've been plagued and chastened every morning." He's getting discouraged and more discouraged. He's getting down. Isn't it beautiful that he's just this honest? "If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children." He really doesn't want to tell his family, "You know what? It's better just to live for the devil. It's better just to live for the ungodly. It's better to live an ungodly life." He knows that's not right. He knows that's not right. So what does he do? "When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me." Life is not fair. And really, when you leave the Lord out of it, that's sort of what circumstances become. Life is an entity in itself, and it's not fair. But really, sometimes things, and really we ought to be thankful the Lord doesn't just give us what we deserve. Asaph is saying, "You know what? When I thought about this, it was just too much for me to bear. It's just hard." Going back to Nick for a moment, when he was bullied, there were times that he would, while he was in school, there was times that he'd just go hide behind a tree until lunch was over so he could avoid the other kids. They're harassing him. There were times that he dealt with it by making fun of himself, by making Nick jokes. There were times that he was bullied, that he would be alone, and really He got so discouraged, so despondent, so upset. But you know what? Nick turned his heart around. He said this. He says, it's true that I don't have limbs. But then again, everyone has something that they can self-pity about. You know, his mom was talking to him one day. From what I read, his mom and dad, and all three are Christians. She said, Nick, she said, God has a purpose for you. Just the way you are, man. So what is the correction for Asaph? Says it's just too painful to think about. And then he says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. I went and talked to the Lord about this. I went and asked the Lord about it. I began looking at things through an eternal perspective, not a just what you see is what you get. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou cast them down into destruction. You know, the end of a person who doesn't know Christ as Savior, no matter how, you remember the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man, what does the Bible say? He fared sumptuously. Nothing wrong with having money or anything like that. But you know what? These guys, they didn't use it for God's purposes. He says they'll be brought into desolation. They will have an end. God reminded him they don't live forever. They will have an end. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. And then he says, you know what? I've been wrong. Thus my heart was grieved and I was pricked in my reins. I let my heart get away from me. I started looking at the wrong stuff. And he's feeling bad. He understands. He says, so foolish was I and ignorant. Lord, I'm sorry. Then notice the change. Nevertheless, I'm continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Lord, you've been there the whole time. You haven't ever left me. Even during the dark time, even when I was waiting, even no matter what was going, you were there. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Nick Vujicic said this in an interview. He said, you know what, I don't have arms. And I don't have legs, but I have Jesus, and that's all I need. He says this, I remind myself to hold on to the promises of God no matter what I see on the outside. I know that God is good. If He allows something bad to happen, I may not understand, but I can hold on to His goodness. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to of such as of a clean heart. Let me ask you, is God good and only good? Is God good and only good to you? There's times where He rattles our, I've got to look up where that comes from, rattles our cage. He shakes us. Sometimes it's to get our attention to return to Him. Sometimes it's to get our attention to come to Him in the first place. Is that our affirmation? Truly, God is good to me. Will be, should be, EF. our hearts are focused on Him. You remember Job, all that he went through? I remember when I was in Bible college, when I first came across this verse, I'd read it time and time again. Here Job had, he'd lost all this stuff. He'd lost his family. Lost his 10 children, lost his stuff, lost his health. And he says in Job 13:7, he says, though he slays me, though he kills me, even if he takes my life, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust that he knows what he's doing. So let me ask you something this morning. Are you waiting on the Lord? Are you experiencing something else that's going on in your life? Will you trust Him? Will you trust Him? Truly, God is good to His people. Psalm 119:68 says, God is good and He does good. Are we convinced of that this morning? If we're not, it's not that God's messed up. It's just that we need to talk to our heart and bring that thing around. Bring it to where we're trusting Him. We're getting it right. Because He is good. And He loves each one of us. So what's next? This afternoon, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you're going to have some circumstance that happens. That some of them may not. Now, if they're good, yee-haw. How you respond to that, if you get all proud, then that's wrong. But some circumstance is going to happen that's not best. What's next? How are you going to respond? Let's pray. Father, help us, as Asaph did, to learn that You really are good. You don't leave us. You do care about us. You do know everything about us. And You really are all-powerful. 'Tis true, You could keep every problem from happening in our lives, but You don't. So help us, Lord, to look to You for that help. Whether it's a time when others are saying things about us, we're having family problems, health problems, we're waiting, we're feeling like we're in the wilderness, just not sure what to do next. I pray You'd help us, Lord, to make our minds up that we're going to trust You. That we're going to know that You're good, that You're at work. Father, I pray that You would use us as lights to those that are around us. That they would see Christ in us, in the way we respond to the difficult things that happen in life. May we point others to the Savior. I pray, Father, that You would help us to determine, as another circumstance comes up, that we're just going to trust You with it, that we're going to respond. And it's just too real of Asaph to admit, you know, he didn't always get it right, and neither do we. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, for where I get it wrong. And I pray You'd help us, Lord, to, as Asaph did, to repent, to turn from that and to trust You. Now, Father, so many different situations, so many hearts here this morning of various things going on. And You know our hearts. Will You please work in each one of us for Your glory? Help us, Lord, to trust You and to make up our minds that we're not going to let the circumstances discourage us or make us just roam around doing nothing. Help us, Lord, to set our hearts on you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Just for a minute, let me ask you, if the Lord spoke to you about anything this morning, what is that? Second question is, right there at it, if the Lord spoke to you about something, what will you be willing to do? Don't go out, don't go home, and just let that go. Let the Lord speak to you. If there's anyone here that doesn't know Christ as Savior, I'd love to show you how you can be saved. Father, help us, Lord, to know you better. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to sing number 388, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way. And I hope that's your testimony. And I hope this week, as you're doing your Bible reading, that you will have a look at those notes when you're in the Psalms. There are some very interesting things that they say there. So anyway, Jared, if you would go.
Thank you, everyone. If you can stand, and we'll do the first two verses of 388.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow.
Thanks, everyone. Please feel free to join us next door for some fellowship. Be now dismissed in God's loving care.